Blog Talk Radio.
Come on back, people.
Whoa, easy now. I'm gonna bring with
God. I've been walking
with my face turned to the sun. Weight on my shoulders, a bullet in my gun. Oh, I got eyes in the back of my head, just in case I had to run. I do what I can, what I can, while I can for my people. While the clouds roll back and the stars fill the night, that's when I'm gonna stand up, take my people with me. Together we are going to a brand new home. Far across the river, can you hear freedom calling? Calling me to enter, gonna keep on keeping on.
That meeting 100 miles to freedom. Would you like to pick a new name to mark your freedom?
Here it comes.
Early in the morning, while the sun begins to shine, gonna start moving. I'm waiting for my water. You know I got a made of mine. And I don't mind if I lose any blood on the way to salvation. And I fight with the strength that I got until I die. So I'm gonna stand up, take my people with me. Together we are going to a brand new home. Across the river, you hear freedom calling, calling me to enter. Gonna keep on keeping on.
Harriet, welcome to the Underground Railroad.
And greetings, Mahotep. Welcome to another segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. This is, of course, a special edition because this is what we call Harriet Tubman Ancestral Day. Yep, every year now for quite a few years, NWM has observed or commemorated the Ancestral Transition Day of the great Araminta, also known as Harriet Tubman. And this year is really going to be special because this year marks the Harriet Tubman bicentennial, meaning this is the estimated year of her birth. Now, needless to say, there are other years that have been kind of cited. Actually, the year 2020 is also indicated as a possible date or year for her, or rather, you know, I'm sorry, not 2020, but of course 1822, that being, you know, the year that she's said to have been born. There really isn't a absolute, you know, way of knowing, but we would kind of estimate it was either 1820 or 1822. At any rate, we were going to do something in 2020, but needless to say, the COVID thing kind of put a damper on that. So we decided to just kind of wait it out a bit, and we would still do some things virtually. But now, since we are kind of able to do a little more, we're going to go ahead and start with this year and do a year-long commemoration in observance of Harriet Tubman bicentennial. Now, this is something that the National NWM has been working on for a while. Those of you who are familiar with some of what we've been doing, certainly 5 years ago, you know that we had began to put in motion making certain that installment or the declaration of sainthood would begin to come about. And with that said, we made sure that it was known we had 20 sister saints that we, meaning MWM, as sisterhood supporters, we would be commemorating, we would be honoring 20 ancestors, black women, that we believe earned the title rightfully, righteously as saint. So we said mother. Of course, Callie House, mother, Winnie Mandela, mother, Rosa Parks, mother, Sojourner Truth, all and others are now for us saints. And this year, as a part of the MWM 25-year anniversary commemoration, we start the official installment. So the call has been going out to any of our people who are artists in terms of not visual artists, excuse me, for paintings, as well as sculptures, as well as any kind of woodwork, because we want the kind of quality art as a part of the installment process. Of course, that means a stool. For those of you who are familiar with the Ghanaian culture, and of course there's other, in Africa there's other, and throughout the diaspora there's other types of installment. And so we are going to make sure that we tap into as many of those as we possibly can and make this installment process to be something that, you know, people really realize and recognize that MWM was never designed to be just a day. We know that's what some people had hoped, and some people even tried to make it that way, but sorry, they failed. We were always intending to be a movement, and thus we are presently, and folks will kind of get that understanding very soon and very clearly. Again, we put the call out to our people. Now, I have to say that because when you look at the great, and it's a beautiful piece of artwork, the piece that was commissioned for Dr. Martin Luther King in Washington, D.C., even though he looks a little Asian, but I guess so because from what I understand, it was an Asian person that did that. It just kind of strange to me that we don't seem to want to get our own people to do our own monuments, statues, and so forth. But what do I know? I know that we better change it up a bit. I know that. Also right here in Philadelphia on display is a beautiful piece of artwork of Harriet Tubman. Now, from what I understand, that won't stay there. It'll be traveling, and you will see that in some of the information or literature that we will be distributing in the next couple of months or during the next couple of months. But again, from what our research is indicating, that wasn't done by any black person. I don't know what's going on with that, but maybe I do. Anyway, that's not what we're looking to do. We want someone of African descent to do the work that we want to exhibit and also utilize as a part of our installment process. So again, for those who are artists in either wood, marble or clay or even paint or whatever, we really are interested in commissioning you to do this work over the next 3 years, because we're looking at having this completed by the end of 2025. So when you see MWM25, it's not just because it's the 25th anniversary or the 25th year of our commemorating of our, you know, incredible historical accomplishment, but it's also indicating that the work that we have now looked at completing by the end of the year 2025. And that, again, is the installment process. Now, we're planning also to do something in Ghana as it pertains to Mother Araminta / Harriet Tubman, because from what the research indicates, that's where her particular bloodline is from, Ghana. And so we definitely are going to make certain that we make sure that something is put in place in Ghana in her name. Now, again, I know some people are like really kind of shocked because, you know, they really thought that MWM had not continued to do the work that we set out to do. And for some, you know, it was the intention to see that we didn't. But again, as you can tell, though it took us a little longer than we anticipated, nevertheless, it's definitely getting done. Now, here in Philadelphia, of course, there's a direct connection with Mother Harriet Tubman, Saint Harriet Tubman, soon to be. And that is that, according to the research, again, she came to Philadelphia once escaping from Maryland. It is Philadelphia where she officially obtained her freedom and began her journey of you know, of rescuing people, getting people, helping to liberate people. So we definitely have a very important role in this city and other cities as well, which is why for October 25th, we will in fact launch not only MWM in terms of, you know, bringing forward its now movement, universal movement, but we will also be launching a national tour that will go nationwide, bringing the information about the Million Women March and its universal movement and our Black Print Agenda 25, and also, you know, some of the other components that entails. And, of course, you know that means also the We Charge Genocide 21. And, again, we advise everyone to be sure when you're referencing We Charge Genocide for Million Women March, please make sure you indicate 21, because that's the key component to make certain that people know who you're talking about and what you're talking about, because there's several other We Charge Genocide kind of things out there. Ours has been started off that way. We didn't change it up. Started off as We Charge Genocide 21. We started it in 2017, at our 20-year anniversary is when we officially launched it. Unfortunately, over the past couple of years, we were not able to do what we had thought we would be able to do with the million signature campaign and so forth due to COVID, primarily because our plan is, and now we will proceed in doing it, is to get out into the communities and really talk with our people, educate our people, et cetera, about the issues of human rights violations of our people. And so, of course, we weren't able to do that to the extent that we wanted to due to all these various restrictions. But now it appears, hopefully, that this will be lifted and we'll be able to proceed accordingly, which means the national tour that will get kicked off in October will enable us to start going into the various cities, communities, Black communities, taking this information, getting people signed up, et cetera, et cetera. The Black Print Agenda 25 will be available come October, so get ready for that. And you'll begin to really see a lot clearer what it is that we've been working on for these past years, getting ready. And these things are solution-oriented. You'll see that many of our initiatives and programs are, in fact, solution-oriented. So, again, the Harriet Tubman Bicentennial Jubilee is a part of this next year's kind of initiatives that we'll be bringing nationwide. And also, we want to make sure that you know that here in Philadelphia, we have begun to launch a campaign to obtain our first building in Philadelphia. And again, we're looking to do that in other cities, but we want to kick it off here in Philly first. There's a building here in Philly, and again, we started this about 5 years ago. We've been monitoring and watching because gentrification all over the country, particularly in Black communities, is rampant and has been for at least 20 years. Now, here in Philly, we were doing meetings and all kinds of things to discuss the issue of gentrification, displacement, what we also call social engineering, and modern day ethnic cleansing and eugenics. But when we started raising that kind of issue around this whole concept of gentrification, people started falling off. So this is what we learned. When it comes to really addressing issues with identifying what it is, why it is, and how, and then sticking to having to do the work to at least push back, fight back, let me tell you what ends up happening with that. Folks get missing in action for some reason. Some are bought off. Some just get scared. Some get tired or whatever. But now here in Philly, this thing is so bad now that unfortunately it is probably, and I hate to say it's probably irreversible, but we can at least continue to fight and make a little bit of headway. So here in Philly, we have identified several properties, but we're only going to reveal one at this time because we know what folks tend to do. Again, over these years, we have watched us put things out there, and they don't even know that we're baiting them. We put things out there, and within a period of time, we begin to see how what we put out there becomes modified or, you know, whitewashed or some other stuff, which we're going to show this more, you know, more clearly as we approach the 25-year anniversary. And again, a disclaimer for those who have been getting information about a million Black women and that connection with Goldman Sachs and all that, that's not us. Never, we ain't got nothing to do with that. Never, ever. Okay, so we just wanted to give you that because that was some real interesting trickery that occurred, and we're going to break it down to you and show you what and how our response is to that. Again, here in Philly, we are going after a building that has been sitting in the Black community for 20 years vacant. And as we proceed on the national tour, we will be identifying other properties, buildings, and other cities that we feel we need to get. We understand what gentrification really is in the 21st century, but also the bigger plan of moving black folks out of certain areas and also regulating where they move to. This is a very sophisticated thing that we're looking at, family, and I'm just saying to everybody, you can keep sitting back watching it all you want to, but if you don't have some kind of plan to at least kind of nip it in the bud or put a wrench in it, then the next generation will have to deal with some things that they don't necessarily need to have to deal with. So the best we, so the least we can do is create an institution within those areas. And when I say institution, I'm talking about a brick and mortar building, okay, so that it's hard for them to move us out of that location totally. That's the least we can do. So that is what we will be doing here in Philly. While we know all surrounding us, they're going to be changing and all that, well, that's okay. Let's go after whatever we can go after, sustain whatever we can sustain, and go from there. That's the plan of action. So here in Philly, again, we're going after a building in the West Philadelphia area that's been sitting in the black community for more than 20 years, vacant. We have pictures of it that we started taking 5 to 10 years ago, and we're looking at the building now, and you can see the deterioration over the years. And so we're now saying enough is enough. We want that building. It's a building that was formerly a library, and so now we want it to be the National Black Women's Institute and the Harriet Tubman Justice and Humanities Center. Now, one of the questions we want to ask for tonight's special edition is, and we're going to open up the mic for you all, and it is, what work are we doing? Be it organizations, be it individuals, be it et cetera, what work are we doing that honors our ancestors, that shows the continuation of what they did? What work are we doing to free people? Because that's what Harriet Tubman did. Literally, literally, you could see them from one place to the other, right? So what are we doing that represents some of the work that our ancestors have shown us? And in this instance, we're talking about Mother Harriet Tubman. What is some of the work? Now, of course, many are familiar with the work that she did in liberating folks, going to get them, bring them. And by the way, and I'm going to open the phone lines up for you all because I'd like to know, because you know there's this debate now about whether she made the quote, I could have freed more if they knew they were slaves. I'm paraphrasing. But now there's a question, or, you know, there's now a debate as to whether or not she said that. You know, I'm like, wow, you all have nothing else to come up with. But this is what's out there now, questioning, you know, whether or not she said that. Oh, really? Okay. Of course, earlier, a few years ago, they were questioning how many people she actually helped to free. I mean, again, because we are not being responsible enough to really, really document, sustain our history, tell our stories ourselves, then other people decide that they want to, and they do. So that's why here in Philly, with this building that we're looking to obtain, it will also be a library, a community library, where the folks in Philly, in particular, will be able to have a location for things to be archived. That's what we're focusing on. Because, again, we're not taking on the responsibility in many of our communities to literally archive, document, research the history of your city of black folks. Again, MWM is cutting-edge stuff. We know that now. It's not like, but sorry about that. It is what it is. So, again, if you have a thought or a comment about two of these questions, one, what are we doing as a people in particular? And, again, I'm sure there's, you know, some folks here, some folks there, but as a people, as a collective, as folk who say they are about justice and liberation, can we really look at work that's being done? And again, I'm talking about as it pertains to the 21st century, not something folks have been doing, normally do, you know, anyway. I'm saying looking at the situation that we're presently in, are we really doing the kinds of work today, given the capability that we have to free our people? Huh. That's question number one. And question number two is, are we ready for there to be a national holiday that is commemorating a Black woman? Now, again, let us put this on record. MWM started this maybe like 10 years ago. Well, now we're doing it. So at the end of this month, for MWM members and those who are supporters, et cetera, at the end of this month, there's going to be several meetings and a conference. And we will begin to now, because we've now narrowed it down, we will begin now to come to one. It's down to three. Who do we want to select as the first woman that we will commemorate? And note, my focus is not so much at this point, the government. That can come later, just for this, if nothing else, for the sake of prosperity. However, in our community, can we collectively decide that for one day, that we commemorate a Black woman on a national level, as you now have Dr. Martin Luther King? Well, how long ago was that? So you're telling me in the 21st century, we're not ready for there to be a Black woman? We shall see. And so MWM, once again, is putting that out there on the forefront, into the mainstream of the masses of our people. Okay, we're going to go to our line now, and let's see again if you have a response or comment to either one of those questions or both. I want to open up the phone lines now, and again, the question is, what are we doing that represents the kinds of work that we see in Mother Harriet Tubman and others? And again, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying folks are not doing work, because people be twisting stuff all around. I'm not saying that. I'm saying comparatively speaking, here's a woman who risked her own life to go get people and bring them out of a brutal type of enslavement. Now, I'm talking about under circumstances where if you was caught, so I'm saying comparatively speaking, not that easy stuff, comparatively speaking, what are we doing that represents anything close to that? And the second question is, again, are we ready for there to be a holiday for a Black woman? And one other point of clarity, in the correspondence I put out, we're looking for this year to be nationwide in observance of Harriet Tubman Freedom Day. It should have said March the 6th, not March the 10th, March the 6th, okay, as Harriet Tubman's Freedom Day commemoration, which I'll tell you more about a little later on. Okay, let's go to our line, and we're going to go to caller 9498. 9498, your mic is open. Welcome to the segment of New Day.
Oh, hello, Sister Filet. How you doing? All right. I just got off of Keisha's program and Darren's program, so got your text. Good question, but I believe you know Harriet.
You got something going on in the background.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let me go. Look, the TV is running, and I was in the room. I didn't think you were here because I got the headphones on. Sorry. Good question. You know
for a fact. Harriet Tubman, Kula, Freed Moore, and they steady trying to, and you're right. What will they come up with next?
Right.
Is it true that they didn't bash her head in? What about that? Is that a lie?
Mm.
But it's a start, what you're doing, and they had buildings like that laying in dormant in New York. They have no more.
Mm-hmm.
They have no more. And I'll never forget, as a bus driver, dispatcher, they had a building on 110th Street and Fifth Avenue, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
all of us bus drivers, that building lay dormant. And I said, listen, let's all put our uniforms on and go down and get this money and buy this building. They will give it to us.
Right.
And nobody wanted to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And now the building is must be worth $20 million. High.
Wow.
Right across the street from Central Park.
Right.
Where the buses, they got a lot of buses and... So at least it's a start, and I got to commend you. Of course, it's a start, and the property there is very cheap. Like you said, the building's been sitting there.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You can't get none of that here. You can't get nothing here. New York is locked, and that Roy Boy mayor is letting these other real estates do their thing. And if you're able to get it, with the Philadelphia connection, then you'll be able to put anything in that building historically that you need.
Mm-hmm.
It won't be nobody to question. So I applaud you for at least pushing, because you remember the person was asking, what could he do?
Mm-hmm.
What could
mm-hmm.
we do? So you're doing it, and you're putting it
yep.
out there. And this way, nobody could call no shots when you get your own.
That's right. That's right. And you know, Dr. Ray, it's really interesting. I just came from a meeting earlier today, and big ups to Sister Pam, because she called me and told me about a situation here in Philly. And by the way, you're going to hear a couple of sisters come on Saturday's program that's going to talk about it. What's happening is today we went to a meeting. We met with a group. They are doing, again, what they were doing before, but with COVID, they kind of slowed it down. There's a whole housing unit here in Philly, and they just received notice that they have to leave by July to whatever. Now, we're talking about at least 100 families or close to it. This is subsidized housing and affordable housing that people have been there for at least 20 years or so, right? But see, it's right like a hop, skip, and a jump from the university.
Mm.
So University of Pennsylvania. So now, and a lot of elders are in these apartments and houses. Some of them are houses, some of them are apartments. So now they're being told that they have to move. Now, the owners of the property have told them that they would help them, but this was a year ago, and they did not give them any kind of, you know, info. Right. But now they're being told that they have to move. So someone called Sister Pam. Sister Pam called me. We went over and met with them. So they're going to come on the program Saturday to tell folks about what's really happening. But the point is, see, again, all over the nation, all over the country, this is what's going on.
It's
and
happening.
Black folks, right, the black folks, and that's what we got to start pointing out. Who are these people in our community that call themselves either community activists, organized. We already know the power tricksters ain't going to do nothing but go with the developers. But the people in our communities who are supposed to be activists, who are supposed to be at least, you know, in there trying to help our people, what the heck is going on?
Well, what happened in they under the de Blasio and the Bloomberg administration in New York, they was Bloomberg had so much money, he was able to buy every black politician.
Right.
What they did, they started buying the land inside of the public housing projects and started selling the projects. So now in the Sumner projects in Bedford-Stuyvesant, where the land where we used to always have barbecues and people with the kids would play, they building housing on that lot. And what happened, all the local officials had a meeting. You got about five churches on Myrtle Avenue. And they had the secret meeting to allow the Jews and all of them to just take the property. So they paying them off. And just like you said, all of these activists has kept quiet. And now they're just pushing everything out. Now, they'll sit up there and tell you that the Marcy houses where I grew up in is all criminal. No. They got white folks living in there. They got Jews living in there. And they got the Mexicans, Guatemalans, and all these people praying every day that black folks mess up so they can get those apartments. Let me ask you one question. Where do you think all these Ukrainians that everybody is crying crocodile tears for?
Oh, my God.
They, just like John Henry Clark said, they're going to come here. They're going to have them an apartment. They're going to have money for them. And we as black people are still looking for an apartment. So I hope that Philadelphia crew that you're with was able to get that building or something close to it, because it's going to happen.
You know what, Brother Ray Ray, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was reading earlier where the U.S. government has put out millions of dollars to help the Ukrainian people.
That's
and
right.
I'm like, wow, so they can't find the money to give us our reparations?
Nope. They got apartments waiting for them as soon as they get here.
Wow.
Now,
wow.
How can you have the Africans go all the way to the Ukraine with all the bio labs over there? The schools should have been in Africa, because Africa has been feeding the world for over 10,000 years, 5,000 years. Everybody's been raping it. So the schools should have been there.
Right.
You shouldn't even have to go to school anyplace else. But those phony leaders. So I'm hoping at least your Sister Filet and y'all strong people in Philadelphia, you can't get no buildings in New York. So at least you have a chance to get Philly where it's still, you could still do it, because New York was devastating and we didn't capitalize on it. Now it's untouchable. $3 million houses on my block.
Wow. So Brother Ray Ray, so this is all the boroughs. In other words, you're saying that all of New York, I know Manhattan, that's just out the question, but you're saying all of the boroughs are locked down
Manhattan, Brownsville, East New York is coming up, 800,000, 900,000, 600,000 for houses. You can't, y'all still have a chance to capitalize.
Okay.
You cannot get it in New York. It's over.
Wow.
It's been
okay.
Over. I hate to beat myself up, but my brother was, when that subprime, when they was letting people get all these houses, my brother made so much money, was coming out the sky, and if I would have pulled the trigger, Philadelphia and the houses was cheap, the same way they is over there.
Mm-hmm.
I will have had about four or five of them, but I didn't pull the trigger. And every time I get up, I kick myself in the rear end. And he's gone now. But I will have had it. And those houses, if I will have pulled the trigger on those houses, I could have been selling them now for 1.5, 1.8.
Wow.
And I didn't pull the trigger.
I see they're making a lot of moves in Baltimore, too. I got to talk to Sister Tawanda because it seems like there's a group over there that's really doing some things in Baltimore.
They got some group called, Charm City. But you gotta Darren Muhammad always have this lady, Miss Winbush, who's in the real estate on his program. Mm-hmm. And she has a lot of good stuff that's coming down. Now, before I get off my soapbox, I'm looking out. I have a junk room where I always listen to the program. Across the, right in my backyard, it was a lot. The lot was owned by our Caribbean brothers and sisters in the church. The church on the corner of Monroe and Bedford. They owned the big lot across the street where the people parked their cars, and they had a big, massive lot that was on Monroe where I could see through my backyard. The church sold a lot to the Jews for a couple of million dollars. When the church, the Jews brought the lot, and the apartments is going for, and what they did, they was able to build under the administration, they was able to get the sky rights. So in other words, before you, if it was a two-family house, you couldn't build another apartment on top. Now they're buying the houses because you could build two and three, four apartments. So they sold a lot, and they was trying to get the bigger lot on Bedford and Monroe because it's a mosque across the street. And instead of the church getting the money through the federal government to build the houses for themselves, and the church will own the houses, and the people that went into the church could have got the housing. The people that go to the church would never be able to afford these condos, $900,000 for a studio.
Wow.
So New York is out of reach, and then the more the housing go up, people like me that's been in the house for this many years, the taxes keep going up, and the old people,
you
lose your house because you're on a fixed income. So Philadelphia, I beg you, and I want to thank Sister Filet and y'all for at least trying. If you get a chance to get it, you better get it because in the long run, it's going to pay off because you can't get nothing here. You can't get nothing in New York. In East New York, Brownsville, where they want to make you think that stuff is not bad because other people is moving in. And they making the place bad in the project so they could sell in the projects what they're going to start doing. You're going to have to own your apartment in the project. That's why they letting the crime and everything bring the projects down.
Well, you know, that's what they already did here, Brother Ray Ray. They literally, they started knocking down the so-called projects, right? They've been doing this over the past 20 years again. And then they would deal with ownership for the new houses that they were putting out. But you know what? Right. It's so interesting because if you look closely at the architecture of these new houses that they put in to replace the so-called public housing stuff, we call them matchbox houses. Because they put them up so quickly, and the materials and things like that of those houses is like not only
cheap,
but you can fold them right back up and get rid of them again. So meaning that they can move you so easily now with those kind of houses.
Well, that's what they're doing now. The house where I live in, they offered me the house that I live in. They want to buy it right now, $1.something million. But the thing is, they will buy this house, they will gut it out, and they will build four apartments.
Right.
They have sky rights. So what they're doing, they buying the houses, and you think you're getting a lot of money for the house, but when the developers or the Jew man get the house, they put two more apartments on top of your two-family house. So they getting over. You buy the sky rights. So trust
me. Right.
If you family, the listening audience with Sister Filet and the connection, if you could listen. It's out of reach, and it's going to happen in Philly because everybody is coming up in here, and they getting these apartments, and we're getting pushed out. So I hope that you can pull it off and get that building because it's still.
Well, you know, listen, Brother Ray Ray, and we've done some research in at least seven cities. Philadelphia, for example, has 44,000. 44,000, if not physical properties, at least they have what we call the lots and the plots, which means you can still build on it, right? Because that's what they did. See, they're trying to create these open spaces because that is the whole new design all over the country for certain areas. So gentrification now is not just the way it used to be. Every city has a major plan now. Like for Philly, it's Philly 2035. Newark, I think, is Newark 20-something. Detroit was 2050. They have literally, on a national level, particularly if a black community is near a university campus, like a large university campus, if there's a waterway or a spacious area, black folks are going to be moved from all of those locations, just like Detroit. Well, not well. Detroit, you know, that's what you call lakeside property. That's why all that
is on the water.
Detroit, exactly. And so is Benton Harbor.
Off Jefferson and off Woodward Avenue. They got the L. They got the trolley cars going down there. It's unbelievable. Coming off Jefferson
all over the country.
And all those places. Yeah.
This is what's going on. And Benton Harbor, which is not far from Detroit, again, is lakeside property. And Westinghouse went all up in there. And now they put in a golf course. They're moving people out. But here's the other trickery. And family, you all can come into this conversation because some of this probably is going on in your community. The other thing is the environmental racism, meaning the water. They're making certain that the water in certain areas is so bad that they have to now do laying of the pipes. Well, the relaying of the pipes is not to help black folks. The relaying of the pipes is to get ready for the new people that's going to come in once they move you out. You see?
And that's where the infrastructure money, and you're 100% right, because I'm going to say one more thing. In the public housing project I grew up in, where I tell you my wife's mother passed away and she had to give up that, it was nobody on the lease. In the projects in New York, you cannot add anybody to the lease. So if you pass away, like whoever's living it.
That's right.
So it's the same thing. Now, it's a big sign. In the front of the Marcy Housing Project, which let me tell y'all something, it's bad, but all the stuff that they put out there is a crock of shit. Because it ain't what they portraying. They got a big sign, $40 million improvements for current and future residents. Now, who do you think those future residents are? Right where my wife's mother lived on Flushing Avenue, and I grew up on the Nostrand Avenue side going down toward Myrtle Avenue. So I'm telling you, and on the east side of Detroit.
Check this out. Let me ask you a question real quick, because here's the new slick game. So the way this gentrification thing is going now, in order for them to kind of skirt being charged with, you know, outright racism, what they've done is they've created a class situation, meaning they create these condos or lofts or whatever in these various what used to be black communities.
Exactly.
And because you have a few, you know, black folks that got a little money, they're able to get these new properties or rentals or whatever. So my point is, it makes it harder, unless you really know what you're doing, to say, well, y'all discriminating against us. Because, you know, based
but
on
you got
race.
The
bo-
you got
right?
the bougies. You got the bougies.
Right, right, right. So now they're dealing with it from class, meaning you, some black folks can get in, but you got to have that money. And that's the new game. See, whereas before it was straight up, you're black, you can't get in here, the redlining and so forth. Well, now they're more sophisticated because they know a few black people got a little extra dollars and they want to live a certain kind of way and with certain other people. So now they make sure they mix it in so that folks can't say they're discriminating against black folks.
Yeah, so they bring in the bourgeoisie, the uppity Negroids, I call them. They all on my block. And when they look at that big, giant red, black, and green flag, they just turn their nose up and keep on walking.
Well, you know, again, people think that they have some safety nets, but what they really don't seem to understand is just like COVID. When these folks make up their mind that they want to create a situation, they know how to do it. And again,
yeah.
I keep telling people, be very watchful. Have family listen. Who in your community, and I'm talking, well, we already have established that most, if not all, of your politicksters are not going to really do much to really service the community adequately. They're going to give you information that they're required to give you because, hey, they are the liaison for the government, so they
True.
Have to make sure you get certain kinds of information. So it ain't like they're doing you any favor or doing you whatever. That part is their job. My point is, show us in any of your communities who's doing certain types of work. For example, here we just had COVID, Brother Ray Ray, right? Or so-called COVID. Now,
so-called.
Have you noticed that in all our communities, who has a black community or a black family emergency response and preparedness kind of program?
Hmm.
Hmm. Now, at this stage of the game, after seeing what we just saw, and remember when COVID first hit, after a couple of months, they shut everything down.
Right.
I mean, everything. Your neighborhood stores, your transportation, public transportation, all that
was
shut down.
Everything
was on lock. Right. And then when they did kind of open stuff up, at least for your neighborhood areas, you were limited with certain things that you could get, toilet paper, water, paper towels, et cetera. You were limited. You could only get X amount of quantity for a minute there.
Yeah, you couldn't hoard nothing.
Well, it wasn't even hard. You were limited to, in some locations, you were literally limited.
You only could buy one.
Get two or three. That's right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So here's my point. Who in our communities, all of, and family, y'all can answer this for me, who in our communities had presented a plan for the community that deals with emergency response and preparedness? That should give you your first clue about some things. You see? This is very serious, very serious, and it is very telling. So let me go back to one other question, Brother Ray Ray, while I have you. Oh, and again, last night, Sister Keisha.
Excellent, yeah. Good program. Good.
Oh, my God.
And when you look at what she did and It was very good. She's going to do part two.
Okay.
You know, she's going to do part two in
Great.
2 weeks. It was real good, you know. So that's what we do. We
really?
Try to do something. But at least y'all have a chance in Philly. Listen, you ain't nobody getting no building here.
Mm.
Nobody.
Mm.
It's locked.
Wow.
And
wow.
If you look, when you
well,
look
I'm
at the stuff that Fannie Lou Hamer had to go through, and people
right.
ain't mad. So y'all got a chance to get that building. Y'all got a chance, Philly, to get something. Because next thing you're going to say, you know, we had a chance to get something. Sister Filet and everybody was pushing it, and now it's gone.
Right. Well, I already know what's going to happen here. I mean, we're going to get it, but I already know what's going to happen in terms of the struggle and the fight that it's going to take, because so many black folks in Philly now have either given up or sold out or, you know, some other situation mm-hmm. to come up with as to why they can or didn't or whatever support.
Or didn't do that.
Right, yeah. I mean, I've watched it very carefully, and so I already know that that's pretty much what's going to happen. You got to remember, Brother Ray Ray, this is the city that a bomb was dropped in a black community that destroyed 65 or roughly, you know, X amount of homes or families. And for the, that's right. So you figure if black folks kind of set back, and, you know, and I mean, it was a conversation for a while, you know, it was, you know, for about a year or so. But in terms of really trying to organize, I mean, outside of course, the MOVE family themselves and some of the supporters from MUMI, et cetera, but as a whole, the black community in Philly did not. Right. So you figure if you could see something that horrific happen right before your eyes, a bomb right in the black community, and let's not even forget some people, mm-hmm. including some children, and yet black folks in Philly still function with the kind of craziness that you see. You already know what's getting ready to happen in terms of support or whatever. This city will deal with festivals. They'll deal with big events. They'll deal with hoopla, but very rarely when it comes to real self-determination, institution building, real plans of action, if it's not connected to the city or to a corporation, they're not going to do much to help.
They're not going to do it. And you know that town.
Yep. I've researched
you know
it and have lived it. Absolutely.
You know
absolutely.
The town.
And that's what's going on. So, but Brother Ray, fortunately, we came up with another plan and strategy, which you know, as Sister Keisha said last night, you know, sometimes you got to have conversations offline. And so we've done that now. We got a whole nother strategy and plan of action that we ain't even going to talk about to make it happen. Right.
So that's a start. And, you know, they might try to change that statement by Harriet Tubman, but nah, it ain't working. It's true.
But now check this out, Brother Ray Ray and family. Again, we ask for your input. Here's some of the things. I'm sure you were, but let me ask the family. You hear people talk about John Brown, you know, the European Caucasian person who, you know, was an abolitionist and, of course, you know, supposedly died in representing, you know, fighting for black folks' freedom. The part of that that you really don't hear about is who helped him? Who mm-hmm. not only recruited but also provided him with information to help, you know, further strategize that move? You know, that was Mother Harriet Tubman.
Right.
Right? But you don't really hear much about that part.
About it. Right.
Right. Okay. She was very instrumental in helping and providing information and recruiting for that resurrection, for that kind of response to them, right?
Well, see, when you get the building, and like you said, and you put the stuff in there, that's where the truth's going to be.
Yes.
You won't have to worry about it because it's in your own establishment.
That's right. So, Brother Ray, are you near White Plains, New York?
No. I'm in. I live in Bed-Stuy.
Because I'm not sure where White Plains is. And the reason why I asked
is because
White
Plains is far. It's far.
Okay. The reason why I'm asking is because there's a statue here in Philly. It's a traveling statue that supposedly has been traveling since 2020. And the next stop, it looks like it's coming to White Plains, New York in April. So I just want to make you aware of that. So I'll send you a picture of it. It's at City Hall right now here in Philly. And it's of Harriet Tubman with a young child that she's holding the hand, right? But this is another issue and problem that I ask people. How come we can't get black folks to do these statues? It's just like the one Dr. Martin Luther King.
It's got to be some white folks.
Or someone else, because I think the one that Dr. Martin Luther King, I think that was Asian.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was an Asian artist.
Well, look at this right here. That big statue, if Africans were supposed to be the master builders, isn't that supposed to be what they say? The pyramids, the... Everything was perfectly, and I think in Ghana, they got that big statue of the black man with the kids in his arm.
Right.
Is that in Ghana?
I think so.
ain't no black folks built that statue. Asians did it.
Okay.
So you can nip that in the bud right then and there. That the master builders of the great pyramids and this and that statue of that big strong black man was built by the Africans paid Asians to build that statue.
Definitely for sure the one that they have here of Harriet Tubman, that artist is named Wesley Wofford, and I'm looking at his picture right now, and he definitely is of the Caucasian persuasion. And I'm just curious. I mean, do we not have black, folks that deal or that do, work in sculpture or whatever that genre is? Don't we have some black folks that do that?
Yeah, but when white folks is funding and the philanthropists and the people that's funding, they have to come to our rescue, like historically. If it wasn't for them, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, okay. All righty. Well, I'm just curious. I mean, this just seems real strange to me that for some strange reason, again, this is a wonderful project to have the statue travel, but I'm just curious. But anyway, that's one of the things that we're working on when we do this installment. By the way, you heard that we're working on the installing of 25 black women. And since I have you in family, I'd like your input if you wish to share. Is it time for there to be a national holiday for a black woman? What's your thoughts on that, Brother Ray Ray?
Of course.
I know that's right. Well, we're getting ready to bring it forward. Absolutely.
They other races is hooking up for a holiday for them. They folk.
They gave
us a quarter. Who did they put on a quarter? Who is the name they're gonna put on a quarter?
Oh my gosh! I'm still wondering how the heck that happened. Maya Angelou.
Maya Angelou on a quarter.
How did that happen? Well, no,
and
I
then
know
they
how.
Was, then but, they was gonna put Harriet Tubman on the dollar bill, So
this never happened. But I'm saying for us in this day and age, you have Dr. Martin Luther King, right? How many years has that been? So it seems like that's it. That's the only recognized holiday on a national level that we have. So my question is it time for there to be a black woman? We're in the 21st century. Is it time for there to be a black woman? What y'all think, family? So the Ray Ray say yay. I say yay. What y'all say?
I don't see no reason. They will. I bet you the Asian community, all them other people, will wind up getting something for them.
Wow. Well, we're going to see, because we're going to definitely start. We're going to start our national tour starting in October. We make it official, and we're going to go from city to city and ask this question. Are we ready now for a national holiday for a black woman? And if so, who would you think it should be? Now, we've narrowed it down to three. So we're going to be asking people what they think. Okay? So we shall see. We shall see. All right, family,
well,
listen, this is a...
We're getting ready to have a black woman that the white man is going to allow, the first black woman. Well, you had Sonia Sotomayor, who's black and came out the project, and she wouldn't touch the COVID-19. So now you got this other woman that's going to be that they nominating, but she's sleeping. Look who she's sleeping with.
Well, you know,
you can feel good about that if you want, but at night
With the coin that you mentioned, you know that Maya Angelou's husband was white.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Yep. Yep.
Yep. Yeah. So, you know, he's stone cold European. He ain't even Sicilian or nothing like that. It was across the street from Africa. So they everybody could stand up straight over that nomination, but it ain't gonna be ruling no way in our favor.
Well, again, you know, that's part of the trickery, and, of course, we're really used to it, but or should be used to it by now. That's why I'm saying we need to select who we think as a people, as a mass of the people, and this is the polling that we're going to do very soon. We as black folks need to determine who do we think should be recognized on a national level. A holiday for a black woman. It's time. It is time. So now we're going to see what the masses of our people think. Who should that be? And again, we've narrowed it down to three. At the end of the month, the MWM family will make its selection. And again, we're going to start that process. And so, you know, the Martin Luther King piece started somewhere. Now, for a black woman, it starts with us.
All right, sound good. I'm not sure that building sound that building that y'all trying to get sound real good.
Absolutely, absolutely. And like you said, Brother Ray, it's a start. It's a start. At least
it's a
something.
Start. You got to give it to you.
Absolutely.
It's a start.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, family. Well, listen, we're gonna kind of leave y'all tonight. We wanted to at least kind of give you an update on this being the ancestral day of the great Araminta Harriet Tubman. It is said that she made transition on this day. And again, on Saturday, we're going to give you more information about our 25 sister saints and the installment process that we're getting ready to embark upon for that. And we have Brother Ray Ray's been with us, talking with us tonight. Again, we thank all of you for taking the time to join us. We just wanted to make sure that we commemorated this day as we do whenever we possibly can for our sister saints. And, of course, Mother Harriet Tubman is one of them. There's a poster that is available that has 10 of our sister saints on it. If you are interested in that, you can let us know. We did send it out through the slide for tonight's program. So we do have a poster readily available now for you with 16 of our sister saints. So Brother Ray Ray, thank you so much for sharing with us tonight. And so you said Sister Keisha is going to be coming on to do part two in 2 weeks?
Yeah, she's going to do a part two, yeah.
All right. Okay. Now, for last night, how can folks get that? Is it going to be put up on YouTube or
I already have the hard copy. I'm going to download to put it on YouTube tomorrow.
Okay.
I'm going to start
okay.
that tomorrow because
so,
it's kind of late and it's kind of late now, so I don't want to mess with it now. Cause,
okay.
You know, but
all
I don't
right.
want to.
So
I'll put it on. I'm going to put it on iMovies tomorrow, and it'll be up there. You know. So and then let you know.
All
so
right,
thanks for bringing
name.
That up. It's good that it's a start, and at least family is one thing. At least, like Sister Filet says, always says, what are we going to do? Well, it's not only talk. Y'all actually see something in the making. It's there.
That's right. There it is. Absolutely.
So, I give you credit on that because in New York, you ain't getting nothing. When I say nothing, and if you try to get something, those small hats ain't going to give you the money.
Wow. Wow. All right, my brother. Well, family, we're going to close this session out. We remind you again on Saturday, we're going to be talking more about gentrification. We're going to have a couple of sisters joining us who will share with us about what they are now experiencing being in a location where the owners and this is a deep situation, Brother Ray Ray, because from what we were told today is that the city of Philadelphia sold this property where these elders and other subsidized families are, and they're told they have to leave. We were told today that the city of Philadelphia sold these properties for like a dollar, right,
mm-hmm.
to the developer. The developers then sold it to, you know, this other entity, right? For,
right.
you know, of course, millions or whatever. I'll get the actual data because we just got it today, so I'll be getting the specifics soon. But my point is this, again, is part of the process. This is what they do. They get these kinds of tax rebates and other kinds of things, meaning,
exactly.
you know, the realtors or whatever. Then they go ahead and do the development, and then they sell it. And then at that point, that developer can do whatever they want to do.
And they're
going to
give that developer the money. They're going to give
right.
that developer the money.
That's the game of gentrification. And so we've got to make sure that people now really have a clear understanding. And again, they're very patient. So where, you know, their whole plan is like 50 years. They look at 50 years in advance. So they can let people sit for 20 years, and I call it placeholders, because they already know within that 50-year period what the plan is for the city. So they don't mind waiting. So they will allow or, you know, put in place something that might even appear like, oh, yeah, we're doing good for the community. When all along, they're just waiting for the right time. And this is what they've done all over this city.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
some folks in our community have stepped back and watched it and let them do it. Wouldn't even say nothing when they knew it was going on. Okay. So telling y'all, family, whatever city you're in, if you have a waterway, meaning a lake, a river, even a creek, yes, that's where a black community is, or if you're near a park, like here we have Fairmont Park, or if you're in an area where they've now cleared a nice part of land, or if you're near an area where there is a working railroad track. Guaranteed.
Or train.
There we go. Absolutely. Because that's the other
anywhere in New York and Brooklyn where they got trains and buses
yep.
and this and that,
yep.
they are flocking
yep.
to it.
Absolutely.
They're flocking to it. So you're 100% right.
Absolutely. They're going to be moving folks out. If you black, you ain't going to be in that area unless you got some money, because that's the plan all over the country. And by the way, we're getting ready to do a national gentrification conference. And we'll tell you more about that very, very shortly. But for now, we're going to get ready to close out. Brother Ray Ray, thank you so much for this conversation.
Thank you, Sister Filet. Thank you, Philadelphia. So we hang in there, and at least you're coming up with something. I got to give you credit on that.
Good thanks, brother. Appreciate you and the family in New York. And appreciate
all
of you.
It ain't happening in New York. Not happening in New York. We ain't getting the time to get something in New York is over. It's out of reach.
Well, guess what? They get ready to lock it all down all over the place. And now that's why we're telling black folks now they better get it together because these people are not playing. They have a plan, and the plan is not including the majority of us. They're going to keep a few. But the plan is not about having particularly resistant-oriented black folks around. Okay? So here we go. All right, Brother Ray Ray, thank you again. Family, we're
okay,
going to close
thank you,
out
family.
Now.
Okay, all right.
And you know what we say right about now, Brother Ray Ray. Listen, if there's no justice, there's no what?
No peace.
No peace. All right, family. Talk to y'all later. Talk to you on Saturday. And we're out.
Okay.
Peace to
you
all.
Thank you. All right.